coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
And welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Good morning, Corey Labounty.
Good morning, Coach. Always a pleasure to join you. 52 weeks out of the year on the Prep Sports Report.
Mark Lasseter. Good morning, pal.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, good morning.
Well, you know, why is it a depressing time to me at the end of football season? Is it for you, Mark?
It always is.
Yeah. It's just kind of, you know.
I was driving over thinking about coming across the bay this morning, pouring down rain, kind of cold, kind of nasty out. I'm going, man, that kind of fits my mood this morning. You know, football season comes to an end. Because, you know, in the summertime now, think about it now. In the summer, when you start getting ready, everybody's kind of jacked up and you're excited to see what's going to happen. And you get really excited about it, and then the season gets into just a grind, you know, grinding all the way through. And then when it finally all comes to an end, you kind of go, man, I hate that it's over already. But, you know, it was a great season. A lot of great memories were made this year.
Yeah, there were a lot of great memories. And what we want to do now is we want to go over the Super 7. I'll give you the scores, and then we'll let Corey and Mark kind of talk a little bit about them. We'll all kind of share our Well, I know Corey and I both worked the Super 7 and with Alabama High School Athletic Association Radio Network, and we're appreciative to Britt Pritchard and Randy Lee and all the gang up there. What an amazing, amazing group of people that have just done an amazing job for the, I don't know how many years they've been doing this, but it's been a long time, and they've done a great job. In 7A, Central of Phoenix City is the 7A state champion as they defeat Thompson of Alabaster 52-7. In 6A, Pinson Valley, Bo Nix and his dad, Patrick Nix, are the 6A state champions as they defeat Sarah Lynn. Jeff Kelly and his folks had a great, great year, but Pinson Valley wins that game last night 26-17. In 5A, when you look at the 5A game, what an amazing game that was, and Corey's prediction almost came to fruition. He said it early in the year that Vigor High School would be a state champion, and they were just a play away from being the state champion. What a great year the guys over at Vigor High School had. But Central High of Clay County, 43, Vigor High School, 42. Congratulations to, boy, I'm going to tell you, Danny and those guys, Danny Horn and those guys did an amazing job to beat a team like Vigor, because I'm going to tell you, they were outmatched. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But the seventh state championship for Danny Horn as a coach. Congratulations to Danny Horn. Central of Clay County, the 7A state champions. In 4A, never a game. Never a game. It was all Terry Curtis's UMS Wright Bulldogs as they just completely it was a mismatch from the opening kickoff. UMS Wright 52, Deschler 0. 58 points the entire year. Corey made that he made that statement on the air, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. In 3A, what an amazing, amazing, amazing thing here. First time in 90 years, Mark Lasseter and Phil Lasby are just dying. I'm just telling you, that's not a good thing to say.
No, but it's a good thing. I'm so happy for Flomaton and Doug Vickery and those guys.
Yeah.
What an amazing ball game that was. I'm so proud for them.
So congratulations to Flomaton. They win their first state football championship. It may have been their first state championship in anything.
I don't really know.
Definitely in football, sure.
Yeah, so it was 23-12 over Piedmont, a perennial 3A power, yes. Piedmont, yes. 23-12. Steve Smith and those guys have a great program there at Piedmont. In 2A, what a game we had yesterday. Fife High School continues their domination in 2A high school football in the state of Alabama as they defeat Laverne High School 21-19 in probably the most competitive game other than the 5A game that we had in the state championship playoffs. And then in 1A, a new team surfaced. Mars Hill Bible School out of the Florence area, 53, Linden High School 26, and boy, what a show they put on, and we'll talk more about that one in just a minute. So the state champions, 7A, Central Phoenix City, 6A, Pinson Valley, 5A, Central of Clay County, 4A, UMS Wright, 3A, Flomaton, 2A, Fife, and 1A, Mars Hill Bible School. Corey, let's talk right off the bat about the 7A game. Central dominated Thompson from the get-go.
Well, you know, when you look at this 7A state championship that was held at Jordan-Hare this season, the fans set a record. 51,651 fans came to Jordan-Hare Stadium to watch 1A through 7A football, and the biggest number was on Wednesday night for that 7A state championship game. 22,435 fans filled Jordan-Hare, and they wanted to see the wonderful matchup between two outstanding teams, Central of Phoenix City versus Thompson. And Mark Freeman and Talia Tungavailoa couldn't get it done. I know Talia, talking to him after the game, he was banged up from the Hoover game a couple of weeks ago. But Jamie Dubose and his Central of Phoenix City team, they were just impressive. The speed, the size, the agility just overmatched Thompson. And when you look at the final score, it was really over in the first quarter also. Just one of those games that, unfortunately, fans wanted to see a closer game and really thought we were going to get a closer game, but it never was. And Jamie Dubose, we'll talk to him in the next segment about the dominating season that they had.
You know, Corey, when you look at Jamie Dubose, this is his 25th year, and lots of rumors. Will he step down? Will he retire? Will he jump into maybe the private school sector? I can tell you this. Jamie Dubose has done a great, great job, and to take Central Phoenix City into that championship game and have the year that they had, it's one of the great, great high school football teams in the last 15, 20 years. I mean, they were totally dominant in every phase of the game. And I'm going to tell you something. Everybody that's anybody in high school recruiting talks about all the good quarterbacks that we have in the state of Alabama. Let me tell you this, folks. Jamie Dubose has got a heck of a football player and in that quarterback. And I'm trying to think. I can't think of his first name, but I can tell you his last name. It's Peter Parrish. And he was the most valuable player in the 7A state championship game. He's committed to LSU, and I'm sure he'll sign with them pretty soon. But I can tell you this, he may have been the most, I mean, to me, for the whole seven championship games, he may have been the guy that impressed me the most.
I mean, he was just a physical specimen, able to be a dual threat quarterback. And when you're looking at a situation to where Central of Phoenix City has Amonte Spivey, who's committed to Arkansas, and then you turn around, you look at Peter Parrish, who's committed to LSU, you have an all-SEC backfield. There's not another team probably in the country that can say they have an all-SEC backfield, and they really, really utilized Peter Parrish's ability and have done it all season long, and he showed up and showed out.
Tremendous defensive speed on that team.
Ooh,
and yeah. A lot of things that I think that I have a feeling that I don't know if Talia saw that speed all year long from an entire defense. I'm talking about from the defensive front to their linebackers or secondary could close gaps so fast that the speed of the game may have been a little bit faster than he had seen. Because Phoenix City is extreme. That's what one thing that I think that Coach Weingarten mentioned to me was about how fast they were defensively.
Well, they were fast, but I'm going to tell you they were physical as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
They were physical, physical up front, and those front seven is, to me, were the ones that they absolutely kept that defense off of Parrish all night long. And, I mean, he had gaps all night long, and Corey, you said it best, just a physical football player. It just surprises me that he can get away from an Auburn or an Alabama. I mean, the athlete that he is. And maybe those two teams offered him. Maybe they did.
I don't know.
But I hate to see a kid get out of state to that kind of player. He is a tremendous football player. And congratulations to Jamie Dubose winning another state championship there. And it's they were ranked number one all year long, pretty much, and ended up 14-0. Pretty doggone good.
Pretty good team.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Can't do much better than that. Hey, we'll be back with more on Prep Sports Report. We'll cover all seven state championship games right here, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in Mobile, Alabama.
Hey!
CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lots of...
All right, welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, and coming to you live from Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama, and also coming to you live on 106.5 WYEA, Sylacauga, Talladega, Childersburg, all of Talladega County. Also coming to you live again on the lake, 105.1, covering all of that beautiful 43,000 acres of Lake Martin. Also covers Prattville, Montgomery, Auburn, Opelika, that entire area up there. Boy, what an outstanding football season it's been for everybody throughout the state. Also, thanks to those people listening right in the heart of Manhattan at the Doubletree Hotel. We appreciate you guys listening this morning. Thanks for the text. Listening all over the Southeast, we appreciate it. Probably one of the most impressive wins, and there were several impressive wins, guys, as Corey, as we covered this. It was several impressive wins in the Super 7, but I think to kick off Super 7 with the 7A game, which I think is, I either like it to be the very first one or the very last one. And the Central of Phoenix City, those guys were absolutely amazing. The game plan that Jamie Dubose and his staff put together, they were ranked number one pretty much all year long. We said it right here on PSR every week that the best football team in the state of Alabama was Central of Phoenix City. And Jamie Dubose is... left nothing to be desired after Wednesday night. His team just kind of shipwrecked Thompson High School 52-7. Jamie, good morning, pal, and it's good to hear your voice again.
Good morning to you guys, and it's great to be on this morning.
Well, Jamie, I know this is how many is this? Is this 25 years for you in the state of Alabama?
Yes, I just, matter of fact, this month ends 25, so I'll be at that great number that all us educators and football coaches try to get to.
Yeah, well, Mark Lassiter and myself certainly have enjoyed our tenure in the public schools, and now are blessed to be at a great school like UMS Wright and Bayside Academy where Mark is. So we understand where you are right now. But congratulations on a great win. Corey LeBounty was there to be a part of it with the Alabama High School Athletic Association Radio Network. And Mark and I just wanted to congratulate you and tell you how proud we are of you.
Well, I appreciate it so much. And, you know, Mark, good morning to you. I know I got the opportunity to coach with Mark, under Mark, and, you know, he's just a line of a lot of great guys that I had the opportunity to be with in my career that, you know, kind of helped me mold who I am and, you know, kind of come up with what I want to do in my coaching style when I became a head coach. And, you know, it's a lot of people to be thankful for when you get at this point. And, you know, the biggest one to be thankful for is always God has given us the opportunity to coach and given us the opportunity to just go out and be with these young men every day and mold them and see the fruits of their labor and see what they've done over the years. And, you know, that was what was the most important thing for me at the end of this, is just seeing a group of men that, you know, for 4 years we've been trying to get to that game. And, you know, we had a nemesis in McGill Tulum, which was a great program, and we just couldn't get past them every year. And then all of a sudden, you know, this year we had the opportunity, and then, you know, we got past that semifinal round and we got in there. And that was what we kind of talked about before the game, is we have this opportunity, and opportunities only come along every now and then in our life. And, you know, you just want to make the most of it. And, you know, our guys really bought into that, and, you know, they worked extremely hard. And, you know, to see the tears and joy, you guys have been there to see what you get when you get to the end of that rope and you get to the end of the line. And, all the hard work comes in. And, you know, it was just, it was really rewarding for me to watch the community and watch everybody. 25 years is what they've been waiting to get there since the last one that Wayne Trawick carried them to in 1993. And then to have Wayne Trawick on the sideline for the game and hug his neck. And, you know, what a coach he was in the Alabama High School Athletic Association. And, you know, there's just a lot of people I can be thankful for. And I'm just one of many. And, man, it's just it's wonderful.
Hey, Jamie, I tell you what, I'm so proud for you, buddy. I really am. And I remember those days down in the Bayou coaching with you. And we had a good time, won some good ball games. But what you said right then was perfect about Coach Trawick being there. And I remember coaching against his teams years ago, and they were very similar and very reminiscent of what you guys put on the field Wednesday night. Very physical football team, offensively and defensively, and guys that just got after you from the minute the game started until it ended. And I'm just really proud for you and Phoenix City and your team, buddy.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. And, you know, I tell you how important this game is over time, too, is a person that really molded where I am today. You know, Jamie Riggs called me yesterday, and Coach Riggs was my high school football coach, and he's really the reason I coach high school football. And, you know, I just, you know, that's I had the opportunity after this game now to reflect a little bit. And it's just, you know, you don't realize how blessed you are when God puts you in places to mold you and develop you and put you to where you are. And then you've got to help those others like they helped you. And, you know, man, I'm just really thankful. And, you know, I'm blessed. And, you know, Central is it's a good place. It's a great place. And there's a lot of great people here. And, you know, there's been just tons of talent before me and great coaches. You know, Ron Nelson, mm-hmm. What a legend he was, too. You know, Bobby Wright's here. And, you know, there's a lot of people that have been here before me that just kind of set the groundwork. And for some reason or another, they didn't get there. But, you know, you've had the Ed Kings of the world, the James Josephs. You've had just tons of talent that I can keep going through that's been in this program for years. And, you know, we're just really fortunate. And, you know, I owe a lot to a lot of our assistant coaches. We developed a character ed program back in last January. I had a coach, Trip Duke, take over that, and one of our O-line coaches. And we've just tried to change people. And that's one of the things that I really bought into. Younger in my career, it was all about winning, guys. Now it's all about investing in people. That's what I tell our coaches every day, invest. And if you care about the person and you build the person, then the winning's going to take care of itself. And, you know, we had some tough times. We had to battle through. You always have that in football season. But I think what we've done and how we've talked to our kids and how we've treated each other as people got us over the hump in those tough situations. And, you know, it was just a celebration of a year last Wednesday night. And we didn't expect that. I didn't know what to expect. I knew we were going to be ready. I knew our guys were ready. And I knew Thompson had a very good football team, and Mark Freeman's a very good football coach. So, you know, but we had glimpses of just greatness during the year at times, and that's what kind of happened Wednesday night. Our guys just went out and really played, and they played with their hearts. And when you play with your hearts and you're hungry like that, sometimes those things happen, and that's what happened Wednesday night.
Coach, we have about another 2 minutes in this segment, and we want to try to hold you over to our next segment. But in this last 2 minutes, Coach, just talk to us about the defensive dominance all season long. You had 6 shutouts the entire season, and we're talking with state champion, 7A state champion, Coach Jamie Dubose from Central of Phoenix City. Again, a dominating performance as you were able to beat Thompson 52-7. But in this last minute and 30 in this segment, tell us about the dominating defense of all season long.
Well, you know, it's just playing as a unit. You know, Mark Hurt, a guy that was down there in the area down on the coast for a little while. He's at Blount. And, you know, when he was down at Blount, he changed that program. I thought Mark did an outstanding job when he was down there. And, you know, he was with me at Prattville for a little while. He was brought up with Wayne Grant back at Pike County, just to give you an old name, too.
There you go.
But Hurt comes from the old school philosophy, too, of just hard-nosed football. And, you know, he does an outstanding job of getting his coaches on the same page. And, you know, I thought that they really prepared well, and they prepared each and every week well. But we had tremendous speed. Our linebackers were probably the key thing to our group. Our secondary was a senior laden group that had been 2 to 3 year starters back there, and it was just the communication between the group. We didn't do a lot of complicated stuff either. That was one of the things that we really tried to fight during the playoffs, because as a coach, sometimes you want to start to do things, you want to start to tweak things, and I kept stepping in and reminding Hurt, you know, we got here doing one thing, and we want to continue to do that one thing, and Hurt just stayed to the process, and, we coached our kids on the basics. We were ready for any kind of adjustment that came up. We had a quick adjustment to it, and then the coaches just communicated well, so I think it was, number one, we were a very talented group defensively, but we had tons of speed. And I think that's the equalizer that you can't talk enough about is the speed aspect. And going into the championship game, we knew we were going to have to use our speed to put a lot of pressure on him. We didn't think he had seen that kind of speed. And, of course, it just worked out for us. And, we're very proud of our group and our unit. We also play a lot of guys. We rotated about 8 to 9 guys in the championship game up front. And we probably played as many as 7 linebackers in the course of the game. So, our deal is numbers.
Hey, Jamie, hold on. We're going to take a hard break. We'll be right back with you. We want to continue that right after the break, okay?
All right.
We'll be back with Jamie Dubose, the state championship winning football coach in 7A football in Alabama 2018.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The PSR Scout Team Player of the Week is presented by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
Jack and Diane painted a picture of my life and my dreams.
I got to hear a little bit of Kenny this morning. Just a little bit. A
little Kenny Chesney early in the morning. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Hey, you're listening to Prep Sports Report, coming to you live from Mobile, Alabama. Also coming to you all over the state of Alabama and all over the Southeast. Appreciate you being a part of us. We got some big news coming out of Enterprise, Alabama a little bit later on, 9:15. We'll talk to Rick Darlington, who just recently took the job at Enterprise High School. And as a matter of fact, Jamie Dubose, who we've got on the line with us now, his Central Phoenix City team beat Enterprise this year 48-0. Not many times that's happened, but that's, you're talking about a dang good football team at Central and Enterprise, the tradition that they had. That's it's going to be a real hire now, I'm going to tell you. Jamie, I don't know if you know Rick Darlington, but that's going to be one heck of a hire there for Enterprise. Enterprise, the whole culture is fixing to change in Enterprise, Alabama.
Yeah, I know that I've heard a lot about Coach Darlington and the successes he's had, and I know Enterprise really is hungry to get back to where they were, and wow, they got some good facilities, and
yeah.
there's a lot of great talent, a lot of great memories at that school too. Also,
I wanted to ask you a little bit about Peter Parrish. I know most of the year he kind of split quarterback duties. I think you had had a couple of young men, he and Tucker Melton, kind of split quarterback duties, but in watching your game, I couldn't be more impressed with this young man. We talk a lot on this show about this year being the year of the quarterback in high school football. We hadn't even mentioned Peter Parrish, and I'm going to tell you right now, he's jumped up to the very top on my board. I can't be more impressed with the young man than what we saw Wednesday night from Peter Parrish.
Well, Peter is an outstanding young man. He's a young man that's dedicated to the sport. He's a great student. He's a great teammate. And, if you just know Peter, he's very unselfish. Peter, that's why we are able to do what we do. Peter's about winning. It doesn't matter who's getting the credit. It doesn't matter what's going on. Peter's just going to do what's best for the team. And, the thing on our team, we're very fortunate. We have 3 quarterbacks with Division I offers. And our third team guy that nobody knows about had a Wake Forest offer coming into the game. So we're very talented at the quarterback position. And when you got guys, you just got to play them. And, they both brought something different to the table throughout the year. But, when we got deep into the playoffs, Peter was our guy. Peter's an outstanding player. And, against Robert E. Lee, we needed Peter a lot. And then against Thompson going into the game, you saw that Peter played most of the first half and, was able to lead us and do the things that he needed to do. But, yes, I tell you what, I've had a lot of good ones. I've had Justin Thomas at Prattville that went to Georgia Tech and some other ones. But Peter's just that kid that has that it factor. And you know what I'm talking about if you've been a football coach. He's a winner. And he's got a lot of intangibles that you just can't coach.
Coach Dubose, also, you know, you look at Central of Phoenix City in basketball, Bobby Wright, your athletic director, they've had a lot of success the last couple of years and have found a way to get over that hump. How many basketball players do you have on your team? And when the basketball players have had that type of success and they want to see it carry over to football, what kind of advice did those players who have played in the Final Four and state championship game, what kind of advice were they able to give you as a coach and other players also on the team?
Well, you know, we do have quite a few that play, and you know, Mark, I tell you, I believe in kids playing all sports. You know, a lot of days now we have kids won't do specifying a certain sport type deal, and I was brought up in an age where you just played what you wanted to play if you were good enough to play, and I'm still a believer in that, and we promote that, we want that, and at Central, that's what we have. We have a lot of kids that play soccer. We have a lot of kids that play basketball. We have a lot of kids that play baseball and on down the line. So, you know, we still have coaches that coach other sports. And I know that's kind of weird at other schools that we got coaches now that just coach football. But, you know, we want a total program. And I think competition is something you can't replacing an off-season program. You know, we lift weights, we still do what everybody does, but at the end of the day, you know, we want our kids competing. We want them understanding winning and losing and competing to win. So, you know, all of our kids work together in different groups, and I think, you know, the thing that I'll tell you about I take pride in this year at Central is football is the first sport out, more or less, and we just set the tone for the year. So, you know, hopefully we're just fixing to have an explosion of athletics and what's going to happen this year, not just in football winning championships, but hopefully basketball, baseball, and other sports also.
We're talking to Jamie Dubose, the head football coach at Central Phoenix City, who just won the 7A state championship. So, Jamie, now that's 25 years. What does the future hold for Jamie Dubose? What goes through your mind after you've reached that pinnacle of 25 years? You win a state championship in that 25th year, and do you start thinking about 5 years down the road, or do you think about tomorrow?
Rick, I will be honest with you. Before the game, me and my wife, we sat down and talked, and those are some things we're going to talk about. We're going to look at. There has been some things. You know, the options, so to speak, and all. But right now, I'm going to be honest with you. We're in Philadelphia as we talk right now. I've got a stepson that plays for Army, and
that's awesome.
I'll be at the Army Navy game today, and he's the left tackle, starts number 74, and we're going to enjoy the day, enjoy the weekend, and enjoy Christmas, and we're going to sit down as a family throughout Christmas, and we're going to decide what the future holds and what's going to happen with me and, you know, what's going to do. But, you know, I love coaching. I'm not going to lie. I love being around kids. I love helping others, you know, so I don't know what else I could do in the world. But, you know, I want to look at my options. I want to see what's going on. But it's a great place in Phoenix City. And, you know, it's just good to have the state championship. It's something I really wanted to do and I wanted to do for this community. They were good to me by bringing me here. And I wanted to give something back to them, and that's what Wednesday night was all about. And you know, I'm just elated to be where I am and where God put me right now. And you know, we're going to pray about it. You know, that's something we do a lot in our staff now and our devotions with coaches. And you know, I'm just going to put it in the Lord's hands, and we'll see where He leads me. And wherever He leads me, I know it'll be the right place.
Yeah, you're right, buddy. And it's the greatest thing about. Where you are right now is that you're at a place in your life where, you know, wherever God wants you, you can be there. And it's just, it's a matter of just being open and willing. And that's the greatest thing about it. And, you know, and where you are right now is a really great place. And being in Philadelphia to watch that game today has got to be one of the most exciting things I could ever see and think of to see our military out there playing the game of football and watching, you know, one of your loved ones out there playing. What an awesome sight that must be today.
Yeah, it is. We got to go last year. This will be our second year, and the good thing is I'm not waking up in Philly seeing snow fall out of the sky where like last year. So, being from where I'm at down there and growing up in Op, that snow stuff that looked pretty for about the first quarter, but then it got miserable.
That's right.
So I'm glad to be here, but You know, Mark, I just want to tell you, just to, and reiterate on what you asked, you know, this sport is very stressful. And a lot of people don't understand the stresses and the things and the missing of kids and family that we have to give up as coaches for other kids. But we don't mind it because that's what we do. But, you know, sometimes you got to look back and you got to say, you know, I've got two boys right now that are ninth and tenth graders that play baseball. And, man, I love going to their games. I love seeing them. And they've been all about me. They were on the sideline the other night. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I look back and I think, did I do the things as a father that I should be doing? And we've got to look and we've got to invest in the right things and, right. and be there for our loved ones. And, you know, Mark, I just remember when you went down there, I've been praying for you. You're still on my prayer list on a regular basis. And, you know, I just hope your health is great and continuing to get better. But as coaches, we got to take care of ourselves. And, you know, we're people too. You know, we like to say that. Sometimes we forget that. But, you know, I've given – a lot of people have given up in their lives to be where I'm at. And I'm getting to a point that I really want to invest in those others that have done things for me. And, you know, that's something that's really burning at my heart right now. But, you know, it's going to be a great decision, whatever it is. But, man, I'm very thankful and blessed.
Well, that's and let me say this about Mark. He's better than he ever was when God – did his miracle in Mark, Jamie. I can promise you he's better and he's got more vinegar in him now than he ever had. I can promise you.
That is great to hear.
he's a blessing to us and a blessing to all who know him over at Bayside. And he's but thank you for saying that. Well, Jamie, whatever God has in store for you, I know that there'll be a listening ear there. And we're excited for you. Corey and I worked with Randy Lee and Brett this weekend, and Randy and I were talking. He said, heck, Jamie, if he wants to retire, he can come to radio because he does a great job doing that.
I tell you what, I've thought about that. That'd be an unbelievable thing. I'd love to do it because whatever I do is going to be involved with kids like you guys are doing. And, you know, it's going to be involved with, you know, making this a better world and better place and making sure our youth are being put on the front and foremost of the great things that they're doing because, you know, I got some kids doing outstanding things. And what y'all are doing right now, before we get off, I just want to tell you, man, it's people like you is the reason we're going to have better people around the world because you don't necessarily have to be coaching, but, man, y'all are putting people out there that are doing great things, and that's our youth.
Well, thank you for
brother.
That, Jamie. And,
thank you, Coach.
You know, God bless you, and enjoy Philadelphia.
Yes,
just enjoy
absolutely.
It. I mean that. And,
have a good time, brother.
Just seize the moment, pal. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it so much. And, man, it's been a wonderful run and a great year this year. And I'm just going to, like you said, enjoy the holidays and be thankful for what we have.
Take care.
Take care, buddy.
Merry Christmas,
man. All right, thank
pal.
You, guys.
Yep. Awesome. Boy, that's awesome. That's great. He gets to go to Philadelphia to see his stepson play.
I'd love to go watch that ball game, period, much less your stepson.
Yeah, that's bucket list.
You know, but, man, that's just an awesome thing. Golly.
You know,
good for Jamie.
If you've never been to one of those places, like we were blessed to go to the Naval Academy and broadcast a game, and let me tell you, that just ran chills. My hand sweated the whole time.
That's awesome.
We'll be back with more PSR right here with Corey, Mark, Dalt, Phillip, and myself right here on FM Talk 106.5 in the Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting talking to Jamie Dubose. 25 years. Coached with Mark at Alma Bryant.
Yep.
And young guy. So that's kind of
That was his seventh and eighth years he was down there with us. And that was a good bunch of guys. David Faulkner was on that staff.
Yeah.
And Todd Watson was on that staff.
Boy, that's pretty impressive staff, Ned. Yeah. Of course, Todd Watson at Tennessee.
At Tennessee, yep.
Yeah, he's doing director of football ops there. And guys, I want to talk about UMS Wright. I do. I want to talk about this because I don't know that, you know, we've been there, 15 years and coached on some really good teams, coached on state championship teams, but I'm going to tell you, Corey and Mark, this may be as good a football team as I've seen Terry have ever. I mean it.
I'm going to jump right in there, Rick, and I'm not going to say this because Terry's my friend. He is my friend. He's a dear friend of mine.
Yeah.
And you know the fondness I have for UMS Wright, coaching there and knowing the folks there. But I'm just going to tell you, that may be if it's not his best team I've ever seen him have, it's in the top two.
Yeah.
There was one team, I think it was 2005, that was really, really good.
Yeah.
This team defensively may be a little bit better.
Ooh.
Because, I mean, they swarm the football better than any football team I've seen. Offensively, they are so efficient. You make a mistake. If you make a mistake on defense and turn the ball over, they're going to make you pay. And that's, to me, the mark of a really good football team. And I just saw yesterday what I saw was, and I'd seen them on film earlier in the year. I'd watched them one time earlier in the year. I remember looking at Coach Laz and Coach Lefford and Coach Watson, and we were sitting there talking, and we were going like, man, I don't know if I've seen a football team as good as this one so far. That was back earlier in the season.
Right.
And I'm still not so sure yet. I think they could probably – I told y'all at the beginning of the show today, before we ever started, I think they're probably the best team in 1 through 5A. I really do. I'm just telling you. That's what I think from what I saw yesterday. And, you know, it's sometimes those I get skewed on that because – of what I saw, it may be differently if they match it. Matchups.
Well, I think they're definitely the best team in 1A through 4A.
No doubt.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, and Corey, you were right there.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
On the sideline, just to see the joy and the energy and excitement that these young men played with from the first quarter on. They used some bulletin board material that was said by Deschler. Not that they needed any more motivation, but when I showed Coach Curtis the stat sheet at halftime, Deschler only had 52 total yards of offense and was already trailing 24-0. Simon Smith goes down with a turf toe, threw his first touchdown of the season on
a
halfback pass.
That was a great call.
And Coach Curtis had a fake punt on fourth down and I think 13 yards to go, and it was executed well. And there was just so many things that went right. And Edwin White, you know, you look at him stepping in for Simon Smith, had 126 rushing yards. Keyshawn Woodyard sets a Super 7 record with 4 receiving touchdowns. And everybody on that team, on that bench, from coaches on down, just had a wonderful time. And they were like kids in the candy store. Jay Cozio, his defense, again, ties the school record for shutouts. So, and not only for points allowed. So just the domination by UMS Wright yesterday was unheralded, and it sent reverberated across the state of Alabama.
You know, and that offensive line for UMS was totally dominant. You look at the kids that played up there. I think of Will Pappas and the job, just a young guy, but the kind of the anchor of that offensive line is Hunter Middleton, a kid that just a 6'3", 255-pound young man that's just played exceptional for the Bulldogs all year long. And it just amazed me. This is what amazed me as much as anything. The thing that they were able to do defensively, the way Mark calls it swarming to the ball, but you look at players like a Will Breland and a Tyler Irvin and a Jeb Barber. Those guys played all year long, were lights out. I mean, just tackle after tackle, swarm after swarm. But the one young man that really impressed me, I think, yesterday as much as any, was a little old bitty defensive back who also played receiver and probably one of the littlest guys on their field. On the field for them, a little man by the name of Richard Brinson. Brinson is not but about – you look at Brinson, and they'll list him as 6 foot, but I would imagine Richard might be 5'11", somewhere in there. But golly bum, boy, he'll come up and hit you, and he plays with an excitement. He motivates everybody.
Yeah,
and I think he threw a touchdown pass, if I'm not mistaken.
He had 2 receptions for 16 yards, and you also look at what he was able to do from a tackling standpoint. He had 4 total tackles to go along with Will Breland's 10 and 2 sacks. But
yeah,
a dominating defensive performance. I mean, unlike any other that people have really seen in a state championship game, nonetheless, the whole season.
Yeah, just and Keyshawn Woodyard just, I mean, you throw it anywhere close to him, he's going to catch. Had a couple of drops, but at the same time, just come right back to him. And he's something special. Between him and Edwin White, they are two of the better athletes in this area. I mean, I can tell you that.
Look what's coming back, though. Simon Smith's coming back. Yep. Keyshawn Woodyard coming back. Edwin White coming back. So your skill position players are coming back. You find a quarterback, and I know there's one that Terry Curtis has there ready to go in that situation. It's going to be maybe a three-peat.
Didn't they throw a double pass yesterday?
They did throw a double pass.
I thought that was Dessler
did it too.
Yeah, I thought Brinson threw the double pass. I thought that was him. He did. He threw the double pass. They threw it out there to Brinson one time, and he raised up and threw it down to Woodyard, I think. I thought it was for a touchdown.
You know, I don't know if I remember seeing that, but, you know, that was a pass. You know, Terry goes into the playbook. He's got a playbook. It's probably, if he really wanted to really write his playbook, probably about 10,000. That pass is the same one. If I don't know if y'all remember that. I saw it on film. I wasn't there. I saw it on film. Was the one that he threw. I think he was at Murphy when he played against Rush, when Rush was at Alma Bryant.
Right.
They threw a double pass. That was the first score against Alma Bryant's defense that year.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
And it was a double pass that Terry them threw, and I think it was the very same one he threw yesterday.
Well, this happened yesterday. He threw this. You're exactly right. Skipper Snipes threw a pass out to Richard Brinson behind the line of scrimmage. You can only throw one forward pass. And so then Brinson threw a 17-yard pass
and it was
to Keyshawn Woodyard. He sure did.
On the money.
Sure was. That was something. And I want to say something about their coaches, too. And I want to mention them all. Brandon Dean, Eddie Roberts, Gerald Jones, John Turner, Emmanuel King, David Peoples, Jay Cozio, Brock Reeves, Erling Reese, Keith Powell, Brian Goldman, Michael Schultz, the team chaplain. And I want to add one more. Tell you a guy that mentored those linebackers for a long time and just did a great job with them was Wes Latham. He did a great job. You talk to Will Breland and Tyler Urban, they'll tell you the job that Wes Latham did with them, teaching them the fundamentals of football.
Good teacher.
Yes. Great job. And he's got a share in that, too. And I know he's as excited as he can be.
Congratulations, UMS.
Great job. Congratulations to the Bulldogs. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
All right, welcome back to PSR. Let's kind of recap state champions. And let's just start off at the bottom. 1A, Mars Hill Bible School defeats Linden, so Mars Hill is the 1A state champion. In 2A is Fife, the Red Devils of Fife, and I'm going to tell you right now, they have been dominant for a long, long time, but Laverne gave them all that they wanted. So Fife is the state champion in 2A. In 3A, for the first time in the history of the school, 90 years, Flomaton is the 3A state champion. In 4A, UMS Wright Bulldogs completely dominate Deschler of Tuscumbia. What was it, 52, Corey, or 50?
Yes, 52-0
in 2A, and I mean in 4A, so UMS Wright. Now, by virtue of that, and we had a text asking about this, by virtue of that, with competitive balance, UMS Wright will now move up to 5A and will compete, not this next year, but the following year. They will move up to 5A and will compete in 5A Region 1. In 5A, Central of Clay defeats Vigor. So Central of Clay, Clay County, that's the combination of Ashland and Lineville becoming one school. They will be, they have been crowned the 5A state champion. In 6A, a great game last night. Pinson Valley, led by probably Mr. Football in the state of Alabama, Bo Nix, headed to Auburn. Pinson Valley defeats Saraland in a amazing game, 26 to 19, Corey? 26 to 17, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, 26 to 17. And, of course, in 7A, Central of Phoenix City just demolished Thompson 52 to 7, I think, in that game. And it was just total domination. So there were a couple of close games, a couple of blowouts.
Yeah, but, I mean, overall, Rick, I mean, you look at 52 to 7, 53 to 26, that's an absolute blowout. You look at 26 to 17, that was close. 52 to 0, blowout. 21-19 and 43-42 were our two closest games, so two out of seven. And I'll give you kudos, Rick, and our predictions. You came out on top. Congratulations to that. I think Dalt said you got four out of seven right. And, you know, Viger, congratulations again on an outstanding season. Football will culminate next Monday, December 17th, at the Crampton Bowl, where Alabama will play the Mississippi All-Star game. And it would be an opportunity for the Alabama All-Stars to kind of redeem themselves after that debacle last year in Hattiesburg.
And you can hear that on the Alabama High School Radio Network. Are you doing that game, Corey?
I will be going. I will be going. I probably won't be on the broadcast, but I'll probably be helping Caleb Brooks with the spotting. But we'll definitely be going up.
That'll be Monday night in the Crampton Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama, as Alabama All-Stars play the Mississippi All-Stars. And we have... Do we have any coaches from this area that are coaching in that game?
I'll have to check on that coaching roster because it's named almost a year in advance.
Yeah.
And we may have one local coach, but I'll have to check to see who that is.
And we'll try to get the players that are going to play in that game as well. That's something we really need to do if we can before we get off the air this morning. That's I know we're trying to effort Philip Murphy, the head basketball coach at McGill. Tell you what we are going to do at 9:15, we're going to talk to Rick Darlington. Rick Darlington is, boy, I'm going to tell you, you're talking about a heck of a football coach, but Rick has coached in Georgia and Florida, coached at Valdosta when Valdosta was the cream of the crop over in Georgia, and he's coached at Apopka, Florida, who has sent many, many players to the University of Florida as student athletes. But Rick Darlington, one of the premier high school coaches in the Southeast, will join us at 9:15. And I can assure you that will be something that everybody will be interested in. A couple of things going on around the state of Alabama that I think are interesting. The Dothan City Board of Education just recently voted to consolidate Northview High School and Dothan High School. And so they will become... And I don't know the name of the school. I don't know what they will name it. I don't think that's been released yet. But Dothan and Northview have will be combined, and they will be a 6A school next year. But the following year during reclassification, I can promise you they'll be one of the largest 7A schools in the state of Alabama. So for those of you who are familiar with Southeast Alabama and know a little bit about that, the Wiregrass and that area, Dothan and Northview will become one school, and that will just be the consolidation of those two schools, Northview and Dothan becoming one school again. And I you know, having coached in that area, Dothan and Northview were big, big rivals, and I think they're going to be a heck of a program there, Corey. That'll be something that we'll all have to keep an eye on there.
Yeah, anytime you can combine schools, it gives you an opportunity to just enlarge and get community growth. You look at Central of Clay County, that school combined maybe 7 years ago, and here it is 8 years later, they're winning the 5A state championship. So anytime you can do that, it always helps and boosts the community. I remember when Gaston City merged a couple of years ago, it was a big-time move for that community also.
You know, I want to say something about Jeff Kelly and Sarah Lynn. You know, a loss last night at Jordan-Hare Stadium against a good Pinson Valley team. But, you know, I can't say enough about the job that Jeff Kelly's done. They finished 13-2 this year. It's their second appearance in the 6A title game. What a great job Jeff Kelly and those guys have done out there. And I can tell you this, that program's just going to keep getting better and better and better. And I'm I think I'm off the air.
No, you're good. You're okay. Good.
But just wanted to congratulate Sarah Lynn and that entire community, and especially Jeff Kelly and his coaching staff. What a great job they did this year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you look at where they were able to get, and unfortunately they did not come back with the blue map. But to get that far, I mean, it's the pinnacle of high school football. You get there and anything can happen, and that's all you could do is lay it all out on the line, and they had a great game plan. Just came up a little bit short, and congratulations to all our teams who were able to make it and come up either as state champion like Flomington did, like UMS Wright did, and unfortunately Vigor and Sarah Lynn are the runner-ups. But again, great representation for this area of football all season long.
You know, then they went into Wetumpka and defeated a really good Wetumpka team in Wetumpka, in one of the toughest places in this state to play. And it's just a great job by Jeff Kelly and those folks out there, and can't say enough about the job that those guys have done there. Mighty, mighty proud of them, and they certainly have represented our area well. And again, congratulations to Flomington. You know, Doug Vickery, and I think that's the first cousin, if I'm not mistaken, of Glenn Vickery. And I know that family is mighty proud of the job that Doug has done there. Been there about 13 years, I think, and what a great job to see that the entire city of Flomington was there. And so, guys, we need to real quick go to Philip Murphy. Philip Murphy, the head basketball coach at McGill-Tulane. Good morning, Coach. How you doing, pal?
Good morning. How are y'all?
We're doing good, pal.
Coach, talk to us a little bit about the McGill-Tulane Yellow Jackets basketball team and high school basketball in general as we're ending football now, making the transition over. A lot of games were played last night and throughout this week. How did your Yellow Jacket team do?
Well, we're 8-2. We didn't play this week. We're scheduled to play Sarah Lynn last night. Obviously, that game didn't happen because they were in the state championship. But we're doing well. We're three games into what we call our second season, blending our football guys back in, and we've got six games remaining in that second season. Kind of put it together for area play, but got three games coming up this week. Got Daphne at home, Baker at home, and then we're on the road at Davidson.
Three tough matchups right there. Tell us a little bit about the growth of your team and who's really stepped up. And I know you have a larger team this year, and you wanted to kind of convert in the media days over to a zone team versus your traditional man-to-man that you're used to playing. How's that going for you so far?
It's going well. We're definitely causing some problems with the zone. You know, we would like to get to more of a balance between all of our defenses, but the zone is definitely another wrinkle in our defensive scheme that's going to give other people something else to work on. But it's been good for us. Jack Flynn, Matthew McNeese, Cole LaRue, Chris Suggs, you know, those guys have really stepped up for us so far. But we've still got some guys that they're going to be stars for us and do good things that are coming off the field or haven't worked into the rotation yet.
Have there been any surprises when you look across the board? I know coaches always, you said you didn't play this week. You always love to see after your team practices, go out and maybe watch a couple of games or go out and scout your opponents. Any surprises so far for this first month of the basketball season?
Well, I'll tell you, I think the team that a lot of people are talking about and have some excitement about is BC Rain. I know they lost last night to Daphne, but I got a chance to go see them play, and they've got some really good guard play, and I think they're a team that can make some noise in their classification.
Now, going back to the Yellow Jackets again, you said you have three games this week. If people want to come out and watch you, what times do your games start? I know the Lady Yellow Jackets and Carla had a big win over Blount and are continuing to do well, but if they want to come watch you and your team play and the passion that you have and the excitement that you bring to McGill-Tulane basketball, when and where can they do that?
Well, I do have to give a little plug to the girls. The girls are 10-1, like I said, and had a big one over Blount. But play Monday night at home versus Daphne. Girls at 6, boys at 7:30. Tuesday night at home will be an all-boys night. Freshman boys 4:30, JV boys 6, and varsity boys at 7:30 versus Baker. And then we'll have the same times at Davidson on Friday night.
Coach, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you on this rainy Saturday. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us and talk high school basketball and especially McGill-Tulane basketball.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Coach. Take care. We'll be back with more PSR. You want to listen to this next one? Rick Darlington, the new head football coach at Enterprise High School, Enterprise, Alabama.
Live
on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network. It's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to Prep Sports Report. The Enterprise City School Board of Education introduced Rick Darlington as the head coach of the Enterprise Wildcat football program. And those of us that have coached for many years are very familiar with Rick Darlington. Of course, he's one of the premier coaches in the Southeast, and he's spent the last 17 years at Apopka High School down in Florida. Also was a head coach over in Valdosta at Valdosta High School during some of their great runs over there. And we're pleased to welcome Rick Darlington to Prep Sports Report. He's been on here before, years ago. We had Rick on. And, Coach, good morning and welcome to Alabama.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I know that having coached in the Wiregrass myself over at Northview High School in Dothan and knowing the tradition of Enterprise High School, you have walked into and earned the right to coach at a prestigious school in our state, and the facilities there are second to none. Having coached in the places you've coached in, have you ever seen any better facilities than what you've got in Enterprise?
Not even close.
Well,
I've seen a lot of places. I've never seen anything like the commitment they have to football there, and it definitely shows in the football field, the field house, the weight room, and all of it. It's very, very impressive.
Well, it's just you just kind of touched the tip of the iceberg, because I can promise you on Friday nights in Enterprise, Alabama, it's the biggest thing going on. And I know that you're jumping in a ship that you look forward to guiding, and it's one that has a great tradition. Kind of talk about how this process went about, Coach, and how it came to be that you left Apopka and came to Enterprise.
Well, I know that Mr. Fault, the superintendent, you know, he's from Lakeland, Florida, which is where I'm from, but I did not know him. He didn't know me. But I think he had a lot of respect for Coach Castle at Lakeland High School, and he kind of talked to him. Just, I don't know if he talked to him about the job, because Coach Castle is he's in his mid-70s. He won his seventh state title at Lakeland last night. He's been the head coach at Lakeland for 43 years. That was my head coach.
Right.
And so Greg reached out to Bill Castle just to kind of pick his brain on running a program. You know, he had respect for Lakeland's program, and Bill ended up telling him he needed to call me and talk to me. And one thing led to another, and again, I wasn't looking to leave Apopka. You know, I've been there a while, and I've you know, raised kids there, and it's been a great place for me. But the more we talked, the more I got excited about the opportunity. And now, next thing I know, I'm a Wildcat. So it happened pretty fast, but myself, my family are very excited about the opportunity. As you said, the privilege and the honor to be the coach there.
Coach, are you going to be able to bring your coaches in? Are you going to be able to hire some coaches? You're going to have to stay with and inherit a staff? How's that going to work?
We'll do some of both. But, you know, I'm sure that, you know, they had a really good staff. I know they worked very hard. And so I'm sure we'll keep some of the coaches. I'm sure some of their coaches, since they are good coaches, will have opportunities to go elsewhere and take other jobs. And then I'm going to be bringing some in, you know, maybe from my current staff, from other coaches I've talked to around the country, really, that I've wanted to coach with before. So it'll kind of be a, you know, a combination of all three, of keeping staff, my staff, and bringing in other new guys too.
Coach, when you looked at the region that you're going to be playing in, 7A Region 2 consists of the state champion Central of Phoenix City, Auburn, Prattville, Lee Montgomery, Smith Station, and Jeff Davis. What's the first thing besides the state champions that jumped out at you about this tough 7A Region 2?
I think I didn't look at it too hard. I might not have come.
That's a great point, Coach. Great point.
I know about the tradition of football in South and Alabama and how it is. And so it's like right before I took the job officially, Phoenix City won that thing 52-7. So I think, oh, good God. You know, and then I know about, you know, the Montgomery schools have been good. I know they're combining Dothan and Northview, and that's going to make another big school there. So, and I don't think you even mentioned Auburn. Isn't Auburn in the region too?
Yes, sir.
Well, there's another killer. So I don't think too much about that. If I did, I might not sleep at night, and I might go back to Florida. But no, in all seriousness, I've always think that you know, we're going to play a lot of great opponents. I have no doubt. And I know they're going to be really well coached. The coaching in Alabama is going to be very, very good. And so right now, I've just got to concern myself with my new team. You know, I've got to get them in the weight room and then get into spring practice and try to find some football players and teach them to be tough and to love each other and to play as a team. And so right now, I can't worry about anything except one school in that region. That's Enterprise. And I think if we take care of that, then the other things will take care of themselves.
Well, that's certainly our philosophy here, too, Coach. As coaches, I think we have to worry more about our own team than we do other people and just have to do what we can do for our own team to be the best we can be. Let me ask you this, Rick. Did you have your paths ever crossed with Bill Bacon?
You know, what's funny was I spoke at a clinic in 2002 over in Ozark.
Right.
He was the coach, and I spoke there. We won a state championship at Apopka. And so I came up, I spoke at the clinic, and Harry Wayne Parrish was on the agenda, and so was Bill Bacon.
Right.
And so I heard Coach Bacon speak, and I remember, you know, watching him play on the film at the clinic. And so when I was coming up to talk to Mr. Paul about the job, the first thing I said to him was, I want to talk to Bill Bacon. And so Coach Bacon was gracious enough to come in one morning over Thanksgiving, and we sat down and talked for about 2 hours.
Right.
And I picked his brain and asked him, you know, how was it when you were here? What did you take? You know, how did you win? What did he see as some things that could be improved on now? What were the good things about the community and the football program? And I just picked his brain for about 2 hours. And boy, what an honor it was for you to talk to a legend like that and really get some great insight from a guy that's won at the highest level at Enterprise. So that was an honor for me, and I really enjoyed that. So hopefully I'll get to talk with him more in the future.
Well, that was a mighty smart thing to do, Coach. That's a man who is who's done an amazing job there. And, you know, Harry Wayne, of course, we were on Harry Wayne's staff at Northview. But I can tell you that, you know, his son, Josh, is now the head coach at Northview. I don't know who will be the head coach at the combined school. But,
I know, and I heard just yesterday that he's a really good coach.
He really is. He's a good young coach. He's been around it all of his life. But I'm going to tell you, that's going to be a heck of a situation combining those two schools, Coach. So that will be a great rivalry for you. But
I know it.
It's you're in a football hotbed, Coach. You've been there before. You've been, of course, in Valdosta over in the southern part of Georgia where it's red hot. I want to ask you this. Tell me what your impressions of the job that Rush Propst has done at Colquitt County.
I've never met him, but obviously he had a great program at Hoover, and he jumped in over there at Colquitt, and Colquitt was they were a little bit down.
Yeah.
You know, when he took that thing over, you know, we played him when I was in Valdosta. You know, we had success against him, but that was a great rivalry, the Valdosta-Colquitt rivalry, especially with Jim Hughes was the coach at Colquitt.
Right.
Those were heated battles. But Rush went in there, and from the get-go, he turned that program into a dominant one. And I think that, you know, I can't remember the last 10 years, but they weren't in the state semifinals or finals. So
yeah.
He has done the facilities over there. He's made it like a college. It's just amazing the job he's done. I've never met him, but golly, at some point I need to, because wherever he's done it, he's done it at the highest level.
Well, and he'll
really be coached like a college.
Yeah, and he'll be playing for another state championship, I think, Wednesday night at the Dome there in Atlanta. Or I don't know if they're playing at the Dome or on home and home, but he'll be playing for another one. But, Coach, congratulations on your job. You're in a great location, and we're excited. We want to stay in touch with you as we go through football.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on the show. And it's an honor to be able to coach in the state where Coach Bear Bryant was a coach for so many years. He was always my hero as a young coach. So that's a pretty neat thing for me.
Take care, Rick. We'll see you down the road, pal.
All right. Thank you.
All righty. You'll do a great job, guys. I'm going to tell you, you'll hear that name a lot now. And Enterprise will just continue to climb steps and be – there'll be somebody to reckon with in 7A football as time goes on. We'll be back with more PSR right here on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
All right, welcome back to Press Sports Report on the Press Sports Radio Network in Radio Alabama. And, you know, there'll be a lot of movement in high school coaching. Now's the time you'll see coaches different coaches moving about. Corey, I know you got some news on that front.
Yeah, Rick Cawley hired as Davidson, officially as Davidson's Davidson High School's new football coach. So congratulations to him. That means BC Rain will be looking for one. LaFleur will be hiring in a couple of weeks. You look at Murphy. They make the hire of Coach Rico coming down from Escambia County. So that's a good hire. Rico Jackson. Yes, Rico Jackson. That's a good hire for Murphy High School and Joe Toomey. So, again, you'll start seeing the dominoes start to fall and the trickle-down effect from it also.
Can Murphy get back to being old Murphy?
I don't think that they'll ever be the old Murphy, because you're looking at a student body that used to consist of over 2,800 kids. And I just don't see that growth in that community and for them to be able to do that any longer. But I think that the cupboard's not bare, and I think that Coach Rico Jackson will have an opportunity to win there at Murphy.
When you talk about numbers, Mark, large schools, you look at Baker. Now, what's going on at Baker, Corey? What do you hear there?
I think they're going to have to make a hire within the next couple of weeks. I know Danny Smith has officially retired from the Mobile County Public School System and has moved on to Mobile Christian to coach there, so as an assistant coach. But Baker, you know, one of the second largest schools in the state of Alabama. So I think the community's all in for Baker, and I think they're going to have to make a hire here within the next couple of weeks so they don't get further behind in football.
I think that's a huge hire, Mark. I think, and that's a school that, you know, when you look at it and you look at the things that went on at Baker, I thought a lot of positive things. Danny Smith was just doing a lot of positive things and just couldn't quite get over the hump as far as wins and losses. But at the same time, I just thought he did an amazing job in developing a rapport with the students and the student athletes. And you know, I thought it was kind of tough for them to let Danny go, but Jack French had done a great job there, and when he left, Danny had done a great job for him as a coordinator, and they gave him the job. But I think this is a huge hire, an important hire for Baker.
Oh, I absolutely do, too. I think Baker is on the cusp of stepping to a new level.
Right.
I think they can. I honestly do. I think that school is ready. I think they've got the population, they've got the athletes, but they got to be able to keep them within their school system and keep them feeding from their middle schools into the high school and then get those kids out. I remember, I don't know how many they had out last year, but I went by and saw Jack one day, and he had so many kids he couldn't hardly dress them all out for spring training. When I went by, that's been a few years back now, but I still think that they have an opportunity to have a tremendous program at Baker. It's there, and if they're able to do that, then it could be something very special. But I think they got whoever they bring in, I hope they bring him in for the long term.
I do.
Somebody
too.
Who can come in and really solidify the community, the school, the athletic programs, and get them all working for the same goal.
Well, there sure are lots and lots of young men out there that I know would love to be in a football program. Jack got started, and Danny built it up. And, it's a situation where it's a great school, it's a great community out there in West Mobile, and I certainly hope that they can find the right fit out there. And that's not always easy to do. It's just not always easy to do. So we'll keep our eye on that, and I'm sure statewide there's going to be some jobs that come open we've heard some, you know, some rumors in Auburn this weekend that may be some changes in the areas close to us, then it could involve some coaches from our area that may be moving into that area. So it's going to be interesting to see the movement of coaches as we move forward.
You know, one thing to look at is, as a good friend of ours, Robert Maddox, has stepped down and retired at Lee Scott Academy, which is a AISA school in Auburn, but it is a very prominent school, and it's been there for a long time and have a long tradition, and I would imagine there'd be a lot of folks who'd be interested in that job.
Yeah, I would too, and it wouldn't surprise me if I don't know. Well, Auburn's not close enough. I was thinking Jamie Dubose. A situation like that may interest a Jamie Dubose, because you know, I know he wants to get closer to his boys, and that may not be a whole lot closer, but it would be a little closer than Phoenix City anyway.
Right, it would.
But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of coaches that would like to have that job, but I would think that some coaches like Jamie Dubose would want to stay in the Alabama High School Athletic Association in that genre of schools, mm-hmm. because it's certainly one that, I mean, it's, the AAISA is just not, I don't think, as competitive as it once was.
It's not. But, you know, there's so much... so much going on right now with public and private schools in the state of Alabama. There could be some coaches who decide, you know, maybe I want to move out of the Alabama High and move to a AISA and coach in that league for a while and kind of see what happens. Because there is still a lot of, you know, not turmoil, but there's a lot of questions being asked back and forth about going all the way back to the beginning of the year, the competitive balance, and and yada, 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 and you can go on and on and on. But what will happen in the years to come, you know, who knows what's going to happen, and will it change, or is it going to stay the same? You know, what's going to happen? So there could be some guys that are just thinking, you know, I'm going to take a step aside and look at something outside the spectrum of the Alabama High School Athletic Association.
You know, Corey, now as we move into basketball season, talk just a little bit about who you think will be the dominant teams in the state of Alabama, and really particularly in our area, who will be good.
Well, I think that locally you have to look at LaFleur being a favorite here locally. McGill Tulane's gotten off to a strong start. As we talked to Philip Murphy just moments ago, McGill Tulane's girls and Carla Berry, again, playing in the state championship game a year ago, having a lot of returning players and players that had to sit out, they're going to be a favorite also. And Carver Montgomery, Coach J.J. does a wonderful job at Carver Montgomery, so they're also going to make a lot of noise. And we had Bucky McMillan on last week, and they were ranked number one by Max Preps because of their strength of schedule. So Mountain Brook's always a tough team. So excited just to see not only local basketball, but basketball from a statewide standpoint. And a breaking news story that happened early this week, Maury Davenport, the young lady from Charles Henderson High School, was ruled ineligible by the AHSAA because she played and represented our country and took payment for that and jeopardized her amateur status. And that's something that we'll be continuing to follow to see if she will be reinstated by the AHSAA this week also.
I wonder how she could be reinstated if she took money and
I think that they said the amount was less than $900. But my question is, and I'm going to dig a little deeper into this story these next couple of weeks, why would USA Basketball pay this young lady knowing that she's an amateur? Yes, she's 6'2", 6'3", and is a dominant center, and you do need that type of height to participate on the national and global level, but don't jeopardize this young lady's eligibility. And if she did take payments, allow her parents to pay that back, because she's not getting paid. Allow her to pay that back, and once her parents pay that back, then reinstate her eligibility.
Boy, that's an interesting side story there, Corey. I didn't know anything about that.
Yes, that's a huge story. I mean, Maury Davenport, again, has an opportunity to win Miss Basketball. She's definitely led Charles Henderson to the 5A state championship, and it's going to continue to be on the table, and I think she's missed maybe four or five games thus far. But again, the payment that she received from USA Basketball was not an extreme amount. It was a small monetary amount, and hopefully her parents, again, will be able to pay that back. But I'll continue to talk about that here the next couple of weeks and see how that story evolves.
That's an interesting story. We certainly want to see how that ends up. Tell you what, let's do. Let's go to the CNC Financial Services line, and let's talk to Glenn real quick. We got about a minute here, Glenn.
I can do it in a minute. This is Glenn from Christ United Methodist. Just wanted to let everybody know we're tomorrow at 3:30. We're having our Joy Special Needs Family Services for people of all abilities. Our puppet team will do traditional Christmas carols. Yours truly will be playing the piano and singing Christmas carols. And hold on a second, Glenn Red.
Yeah.
I'm at a store here. Anyway, and then afterwards we're going to have a Christmas party for them all over in the Christ Center. And I happen to know from personal experience that Santa Claus will be there to greet the children and all the adults. So anybody who would like to do a special service tomorrow, Christmas service, it's going to be a real blessing. And invite everybody to come, regardless of your abilities, just show up. We'd love to have you at 3:30. That's a Christ United Methodist on Greelot Road.
That's a blessing to all.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Glenn. Thanks a bunch, pal. That is a wonderful service, 3:30 tomorrow afternoon out at Christ United Methodist Church. And Well, my dear buddy, boy, Jeff Spiller started that, and it's just an amazing church that they've got out there. And hope if you have the chance, you can go by and be a part of that. That is really a neat service. Well, guys, I know that as we move toward the Christmas season, we kind of take a little bit of break, and of course there'll be a multiplicity of high school basketball tournaments, not only on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, but around Mobile and the Pensacola areas. I'm sure up in around the Sylacauga, Childersburg, Talladega area, there'll be probably a big basketball tournament at the Round Palace in Talladega or somewhere in Sylacauga. Sylacauga, now you know, Corey, Sylacauga's defending their 5A state championship from last year.
That's big time for the Aggies. Yeah. And again, they won in tremendous fashion, did an outstanding job 1 year ago coming away with the state championship. So that's going to be fun. And Rick, you know, as we've been talking about the Super 7, there was one other game that was played on Wednesday,
right?
The unified games between the Baldwin County Bandits and the Vestavia Hills Rebels. Just an outstanding play game between young children with disabilities, and they had a blast playing in that football game. And we're going to talk more about that in the weeks to come. Also, probably next week, I really want to dive into it because when you see the smiles on their faces when they come out on that field, second to none.
Yeah, that is some kind of game to see. And boy, I am so glad that we've started that here in Alabama. That is a credit to a lot of people, and I hope we can grow it to be even bigger in the future. We'll be back with more PSR and the Camp Gray segment right here on FM Talk 106.5, the Prep Sports Report and Radio Alabama.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
All right, for all our folks down at 106.5 WYEA in Sylacauga and also around the lake, 105.1, today, Saturday, December 15th, Saturday, December 22nd, those three Saturdays, today, next Saturday, and the following Saturday at Tony Sarah Ford on Highway 280 in Sylacauga from 10 to 1. We're going to stuff the bus. We're going to stuff the bus with non-perishable food items and toys at Tony Sarah Ford on Highway 280. And that's going to be from 10 o'clock this morning until 1 o'clock. That's going to be benefiting Alabama Childhood Food Solutions and SAFE. So you can register for free Chick-fil-A for an entire year. Mark Lasseter's driving to Sylacauga today to get that done. So we'll be talking about that more the next two Saturdays. Go to Tony Sarah Ford on Highway 280 now, you folks in Talladega County, and help those that need to be helped the most. Camp Grace is located in West Mobile, is a summer home of Camp Rapahoe, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, we were talking earlier today, Rick, about this the season coming to an end and the things you look back, and you and I are very nostalgic about some things. When Corey gets as old as we are, he'll be doing the same thing, so he can just look at us funny right now. But as we look, you know, as I look back, you look back at the season, and you start out with how seasons took off, and each team and each player, each coach, each parent can look back and say, okay, let's see what went on this year. Look at all the things that took place. If we look at different things at our different teams, we can find things that were great, joyous, lots of excitement, a lot of celebration. You can find times where it was sad and dejecting and bad, and you just get all down in the dumps. And then you can look at yourself and see, how did I handle either one of those two times? And it may have happened more than once. It could have been a season where you didn't lose a ball game. You didn't lose not one. You went through and defeated everybody that you played. You can be one of those teams that didn't win a game. And you have to figure out, what can I do better? If you're the team that won them all, or the team that you lost every game, you have to look at it and say, what can I do better? Because if I stop striving to do better every day, then I don't get any better. I actually lose ground on where I was the day before. If you won 15 ball games this year, did you win it with a humble heart? Did you win it acknowledging all the hard work you had put into it and understanding that those teams that you did defeat had put a lot of heart into it as well? When you didn't win any games this year, did you know when you looked in the mirror, when you went to bed at night, I gave it everything I had, every play that I played this year? There are so many stories that can be told about this and that and about different things. That's why I love the game of football so much, because there's so many different entities in the game and so many different stories to come of it. Whether you win or whether you lose is important, but it's not the end all to me. What is important is how I played the game. Did I play the game with class and dignity and humility and as hard as I could? Because if I didn't, then I did some things wrong, and I've got to get better at that. And I've told you guys many times as a coach, I lost sight many times of what my real purpose was. My real purpose was not winning every game. My real purpose should have been hoping we won the day in every child's life and every coach's life and every person's life that I come across. Because every day is such a joyous occasion to wake up and get to live it. Even today when it's raining and it's kind of nasty outside, I have the opportunity today to go home and see my loving wife and spend the day with her, my two boys. And we're probably going to cook some chili this evening. And I'm going to reflect sometime this afternoon, Rick, about this season and what took place and what went on. And I hope the teams that played the games, the teams that lost, the guys from Vigor who lost by 1 point late in the ballgame, just a gut-wrenching loss, can look back and say, man, we did some special things this year. And they did. They did. What can they do better? Those are things that they're going to look at. What can those teams, what can UMS look at after an undefeated season? What can they do better? Because every day that we don't try to get better, I think we lose.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, Mark, that is so appropriate because of the heavy heart that so many people have this morning in Jackson, Alabama. And I wanted to save this to the end of the show because I wanted everybody to know that life is precious. You've experienced that from a personal standpoint. We've all been there for some pretty tough times. But this morning in Jackson, Alabama, Jackson High School has lost a very important part of that school. Young lady by the name of Megan Harbuck Overstreet. She's married to Jake Overstreet. Jake's former baseball player at South Alabama, former high school quarterback at Thomasville High School. Megan Harbuck Overstreet's 30 years old. She was a softball coach at Jackson High School. She passed away suddenly Wednesday night. And it's a bitter pill to swallow. It's hard. It makes us all want to ask why. Her dad, Ken, is the principal at Jackson High School. Ken retired, actually came back, and they asked him to come back because they needed him, and he came back. His father, Ned Harbuck, was a great high school basketball coach in this area. I believe he coached at Baker High School for a lot of years as a basketball coach. But Megan Harbuck Overstreet passed away Wednesday night. And she leaves behind two small children and a husband, Jake, 30 years old. I hope that everybody in the Prep Sports Report listening area will say a prayer for the Overstreet family, for Jake, and for Megan's daddy, Ken, for her entire family. It's a tragedy that we don't understand. We don't have the words to express. She's a young lady who was with us at UMS Wright and did a fabulous job for us there. and she leaves behind many, many friends. Everybody she touched, she made a difference in their life. Not only the students that she coached, but the faculty members that she touched as well. So our prayers go out this morning to Megan Harbuck Overstreet, to her husband Jake, her two beautiful children, and her dad Ken, and her entire family. It's a sad, sad day. We lose a wonderful, wonderful young lady, a mother, a wife, and a dedicated person to everybody that she was friends with. Prep Sports Report dedicates this show to the memory of Megan Harbuck Overstreet. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. We'll see you here, same place, same time, next time.